Good evening, young disciples. It is, it's always good to see you. Glad that we can be together for another final evening of, spending time learning about Jesus and what he wants to do in our lives. So just a quick review. That's right. This is a treasure. Where is the treasure? It's in earthen vessels. Who are the earthen vessels? That's right. So, do earthen vessels ever have problems? You would say sometimes that they have troubles on every side? Yes. And what happens when they have troubles on every side? They're not distressed? Right? What else happens to earthen vessels? Sometimes they have what? They're perplexed. But what happens when you're perplexed? Not in despair. Okay, good. We won't go the whole way through. Maybe we'll sing it later. tonight, we will finish up a story with Joseph. There's some points that come out in the story of Joseph that I think are really important for us tonight as we close. And also, tonight's special. Saturday night, Sabbath evening at YD Camp is an opportunity for you to share how God has worked in your life during YD this year. So this is opportunity to say, here's what Jesus has done for me. Here's a miracle that he's worked on my behalf. Here's the way that God has taught me something new. It's a good opportunity for us to share about Jesus. So we're going to give you that opportunity to start thinking about it now. But before we get started with our story and our chance to give testimony, let's just bow our heads. Father, we ask that you would speak. I ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joseph's brothers hated him. Yes? They, in fact, it says they hated him all the more. It got to the point where they try to kill him, decide not to kill him. They sell him to slavery. It wasn't a good experience. But the Bible tells us that when Joseph was in slavery, who was with him? God was with him. So he is a slave in whose house? Potiphar's house. And everything's going good for about 10 years. And then, outwardly it looks good for about 10 years. And then he is taken and thrown into prison for something he did not do. Was God with him in prison? Yes, he was. And so as he's in prison there for about 3 years, about a year into it maybe, two leaders from the Pharaoh's court come in, a butler and a baker. They both have a vision. They share their vision. Joseph says, do not dreams belong to God? He gives an answer to it, and he tells the butler, who's the one who's going to live, please remember me when you get out. And the butler said, sure. And he forgot. How do you think you would feel when you saw a great opening to get out and someone forgot about you? Probably not too good. Joseph didn't feel too good. I wrote down some thoughts. If you don't mind listening to them, since it's easier for me to read this one. Joseph's life got worse, it appeared like, with each stage that he went through. Each stage, it seemed, was worse than the one before. The more faithful he was to God, the more it seemed that bad things happened. If you think that bad things happen to bad people and good things happen to good people, and you were Joseph, what would you assume? I'm a bad person. But bad things often do happen to good people. In fact, one man said this, God is always shaping men and women by experiences he allows to come to them into tools fit for his use. He's remembered. He comes out of prison. He becomes the prime minister of Egypt. Everything's going well. He has a nice family. They have the years of plenty. And then the years of famine begin. And after 2 years in the years of famine, Joseph's brothers show up, don't recognize him. He is there as the master of Egypt. And as his brothers bow down before him, he remembers the dreams that he shared with them that they hate him about. And as they're bowing down before Joseph, he plays with them a little bit. You know the story. He makes it hard for them. He doesn't reveal who he is right away. Finds out what their true character was like. But eventually, he does reveal himself to them. And I like to share the verse of what he says to them. It's found in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And we're going to be looking at two verses. Genesis 45. Our first verse will be verse 5. So here is Joseph. He's speaking to his brothers. They are the ones who sold him into slavery. They're the ones that put him through serious turmoil. Eventually, yeah, he almost died. It says here in Genesis 45, verse 5, Joseph said to his brethren, let's start with verse 4, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. So who sold him in Egypt? His brothers did. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that, what? You sold me. Then it says this, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Wait a minute. Who sold Joseph into slavery? His brothers. Did he say that? Yes. Is it true? Yes. But how does Joseph look at it? He says, God sent me down here to preserve life. Look at what it says in verse 7. Genesis 45, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. God sent me. Yes, I became a slave. God sent me. Yes, I had serious temptation. God sent me. Yes, I became a prisoner. God sent me. Yes, I was forgotten and left alone. God sent me. Are there times when you look at your life and you say, this isn't fair, this isn't right? Could you say like Joseph, God sent me? I know that there are times when I'm going through difficult experiences and I would not say God sent me. I would say Satan is attacking me. Yes? But Joseph looks at things differently than you and I do. Could I have a few volunteers? Oh. Let's see. You know what I'm going to do, right? If you're born, oh, in the month of, No, please don't say it out loud because I probably won't say it if I hear it. October. You're born in the month of October. And I had a very arbitrary reason for choosing that. My son was born in October. Could you stand in a straight line facing this way along the back here and not too close to the fire, at least at this point? Thank you. I'd like to share a thought with you before these young disciples help me. Are you ready? Can you listen to this thought? Maybe repeat it back to me. Trials are not always evidence of God's displeasure. You ready? Trials are not always evidence of God's displeasure. Here's the next part. They may be evidence of his love and care. Ready? They may be evidence of his love and care. So if you have your Bibles, if you can open up with me, Miss Terza, could you hold this for me? And we're going to do this. And you can stretch out the whole way to the end there, if that's okay with you. Thank you, ma'am. Could you hold on to it where you're at? And just grab a hold of the rope, and let's stretch out this direction. Mr. Walter, just keep on going, sir. Take it to the very end. This is not a tug of war, so just stop right there. Perfect. Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says 17, for our what kind of affliction? For our what? Light affliction, which is but for a... Okay, repeat that with me. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How long is a moment? Okay, can you show me a moment with your fingers? Right? That's a moment. Well, I've got a moment. I'm going to try to show you a moment. Wait. How long was Joseph a slave? Someone said it. 10 years. Was that a moment? It was a moment. How long was he a prisoner? 3 years, but that's close. 3 years. 10 and 3. Oh, he's got some other things coming on too. He had 7 and 2. 13 years between slavery and prison. Was that a moment? Yes. Do you think it felt like a moment? But can you show me a moment again? Ready? Okay, good. Okay, tears up. You notice something interesting about this end? Can you see this? It's a little black piece here on this end. This is a, ready? It's a moment. This is a moment. This is your life. All 11 years. All 16 years. All, dare I say it, 60 years. And even longer for some of you. Okay? This is your life. Could you hold it up like this? Thank you, ma'am. This is what takes place after the moment. Sometimes it feels like what we're experiencing now is forever. But in reality, in context of time and eternity, you're just that little black tip on the end. That's it. And the rest is eternity. In fact, the verse continues. Let's start from the beginning because I think I won't be able to remember halfway through. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So this is so much bigger, exceeding, okay? Much bigger than that small little moment at the beginning. This is your life after the resurrection, after the second coming. Sometimes you look at what you're facing right now and you think that that's the whole rope, but it's only a little bit at the beginning. It's only a moment. Whatever you face in your life today, remember it's a moment. And how can you keep that in your mind? How did Joseph understand this? Here's how. It's probably one of the most important things. Ladies and gentlemen, you're doing a fantastic job. Thank you. I appreciate it. I promise I won't make it too much longer, okay? Okay. Verse 18. While we look not at the things that are seen. That's the method. When you look at the things that are seen, they take up all your vision and you can't think of anything else. So while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are what? Okay, look up. I mean, you don't have to, but I suggest. Go ahead. Do you see anything? You see a sky? Atmosphere, you got it. There's space beyond there, isn't there? How many of you see the stars? They're out there, you just can't see them. You know that? Somewhere up there, unseen, is reality. Is God in heaven. And yet you look down at your feet. Yeah, you see what your feet look like? I don't always like looking at my feet, but there they are, dirty feet, right? Sometimes we look at our feet and we're looking down and that's all we see because we're focusing on the things that are seen, yet the unseen thing is what's going to last forever. That little black tip, you're doing a great job, ma'am, thank you. That little black tip is what? Just a moment. Joseph understood it. Joseph understood that the focus of his life, all the pain that he went through, was for the purpose of bringing life. He knew that he was an earthen vessel. and that in him was treasure. He knows that he was living and that he was delivered unto death so that others could live. All right, young disciples, should we thank this illustrious group? Amen. Thank you. Okay, you can lay it down on the ground. Just lay it down nicely because we'll keep it here. It's good for us to remember. Thank you, each one. Thank you for being born in October. Hardships, like Joseph experienced, may be a blessing. This is my final thought, okay? Hardships, like what Joseph experienced, may be a blessing. It's not that the hardship itself is a blessing. It's how we meet the hardship that is a blessing. Bear the hardship the wrong way, it's a curse. Meet it the right way, and the experience will be precious to you. Where was God when Joseph was in his father's tents? Where was God when Joseph was in his father's tents? That's right, he was with him. Where was God when Joseph was bound and walking as a slave to Egypt? He was with him, right beside him. Where was God when Joseph was in a slave in Potiphar's house? With him. Where was God when Joseph was falsely accused? With him. Where was God when he was put in prison? That's right. And where was God when he was the ruler of Egypt? With him. Commit your ways unto him. He will be with you. When the trials come your direction, and they will, I don't need to tell you that because you experience it. I want to assure you that God will be with you as you commit yourself to him.